Welcome to Are You Being Served, the business insight podcast that goes beyond the buzzwords and gets to the heart of what modern technology really means for your bottom line. And in today's episode, we're slicing through the hype surrounding the biggest topic in tech. Everyone is asking, what can artificial intelligence do? But the real question for any savvy business leader is, what can't it do? Where are the limits? What are the pitfalls and the downright fantasies? To examine this, I'm thrilled to be joined in the studio by a true expert in the field, Asita Rodrigo.
So I've been in software engineering for over 20 years now, you know, right back from the days when the internet was really sort of booming and we were still installing modems into premises through to the current sort of boom in AI technology. Worked for a lot of organizations, mainly in the fintech space, small and large, including running software engineering for EMEA, for Standard & Poor's, the global ratings agency. But I've really focused the last few years of my career on fast-scaling organizations that are scaling through technology and software engineering. And that's where I focused my Chief Technology Officer and CTPO, Chief Technology and Product Officer career on. And that's what I specialize in marrying strategy and vision and corporate objectives to the use of the latest technology. So for me, the emergence of artificial intelligence as a useful part of my toolset is fantastically interesting. I think it's an amazing challenge, but I'm not one to jump on the bandwagon. I think there's true value there. But part of my role is helping organizations steer through the haze and the snake oil to get the true value out of it.
Are you being served by artificial intelligence with Asita Rodrigo?
Sam, you're just not listening. You're not listening. This is not just another app. AI will redefine everything. Medicine, but how we think.
It's a fancy autocomplete. It just mashes things together. Anything it finds online, it's hype. It's just hype.
Hype? It's already diagnosing diseases better than any doctor could. It's not hype. It's a paradigm shift.
And also creates those bizarre pictures. You know, the ones with the seven fingers. Remember when blockchain was going to save the world? This is exactly the same thing.
No. This is different. This is the biggest change since the internet. Well, maybe even electricity.
Yeah, sure. Until it tells you to put glue on your pizza. I'll believe it when my self-driving Elon Musk car doesn't try and merge into a wall.
Look, you'll see. You'll see.
Yeah, I'll be waiting.
That conversation taking place in coffee shops all over the place. So let's bring Asita in to give us his opening thoughts.
In short, Richard, I think it's going to have a huge impact in business operations. Okay, every part of a workflow of a business could be augmented via AI tools. But we're just finding out where the benefits are right now. We're in that sort of California gold rush season right now, where we're experimenting on how operations can change. But that's, I think, the biggest impact, because we have mastered, I think, in current AI model, language via technology. And that is, language and communications is the cornerstone of business operations. I think once that's been cracked, then you'll see huge benefits in that region. I think the reality is, see, hugely powerful operational tool set that's been opened up in front of us. So undoubtedly, it will change the way we work. No doubt about that. But it's not magic, and it's not intelligence. And I think that comes back to people have a sense of wonder around the idea that machines can master language, because its ability for machines to do so has been pretty poor over the last few decades as computers have been driven along. And crossed that massive divide into
machines mastering intelligence, people think, wow, they are now intelligent, and they're not. I like to use the term intelligent automation, and that portrays what we call AI as a tool rather than as a separate being or a kind of magic that many people see. So that's, I think, where we've got to weave through the hype, is go back to thinking of it as another tool in your toolbox that is hugely powerful, but don't get away from all the things all the questions that you used to ask when you bring on board a new tool.
Okay, let's buy into a measured approach. So the board has got excited. They've heard all of the hype and they want AI. They've discovered a problem.
Well, first of all, I'd say the board has asked me about a solution. What's the problem we're trying to solve? And again, coming back to, don't get away from all the questions you used to ask before AI came along. So key factors, for example, before implementing a so-called AI system, is it going to bring in new customers? Is it going to grow revenue? Are we looking to improve customer experience and satisfaction scores? Is it reducing the risk in ways that protect profit? Could it help us spot chances competitors don't see? What is the actual problem we're trying to solve before we think about the tool? I've got an inclination that it could be an advantage in every area of the business. But before we get to proving that hypothesis, come back to, what is the problem we're trying to solve? You know, where is the competitive advantage we see that AI could help us with? And then assess that tool set as you would any other tool set. I absolutely think it would provide a competitive advantage, but don't put the solution before the problem. I'll give you an example. When I was CTO at Cedars, one of the leading platforms for raising capital for small companies via crowdfunding, one of our biggest problems was the people costs of legal and compliance due diligence, right? Because you have to read through stupendously complicated regulations, content and material produced by companies, making sure that that is compatible with regulations. And we used an AI tool set, large language models, generative AI, natural language processing, to help augment that process and reduce the people costs of it. And that was extremely successful because machines can read some of those documents faster. They can suggest changes that need to be made. We didn't get rid of humans completely. There was always a human in the loop, making sure that the regulations were kept in, right? AI is not infallible, but there is certain scope for, let's say, reallocating your capital into more productive ways. Okay, so, you know, once you take a look at the key factors in putting together a business case for using AI, then you've got to look at, how do you assess if AI is the right solution for that particular business problem? And again, I'd say use the way you would always used to assess a business case, but just add AI as a part of your toolbox. So look at, is that solution going to provide a viable solution, a valuable solution, a feasible one, and a usable one? And those are the sort of four foundational corners of product management and technology solutions.
That's great advice from Asita. Basically, do your due diligence. Now, if you're listening and there are one or two phrases that you're not familiar with, or one or two concepts you're not familiar with, don't worry. There is a cheat sheet that accompanies this edition. Now, we've heard it's not all hunky-dory. There are one or two challenges that I wanted to discuss with Asita. First of all, I wanted to talk about how you scale an AI solution and what the problems are there, because there is a lot in the press about this. And the second thing I wanted to talk about is what you do with your legacy systems. What do you do with the stuff you've already invested in? Asita.
I think there is an issue with scaling, and for a number of reasons. Okay, firstly, up until now, in terms of technology implementations, we've had, you know, step changes in technology at certain inflection points, like the introduction of the internet, automated internet-based payment systems, etc. And when those happen, all the architectural and technical patterns that you've built on have to change. So there will be a period where we get it wrong. So what are the patterns for scaling with AI? I don't think they're really established yet. You know, you'll see a lot of LinkedIn posts saying, here are architectural patterns for implementing agentic coding. There's a lot of snake oil there around that because we haven't had enough time to see what works in a measurable way. And the pace of change is absolutely phenomenal. So yes, I think there is a problem with scaling because we don't know the patterns that most efficiently will help us scale. We're still in that experimental mode. People are forgetting the costs involved. When large language model technology really hit the papers about 2 years ago, a lot of tools available were free. Now, they're being paid for. And as models improve, the costs required to develop and keep those models running are getting higher and higher and higher. So it's very hard to predict the cost side of scaling from what we know today over, let's say, a two-year period. So that's a challenge as well. Take a look at your existing system and see, is it too old to replace piece by piece? Evolution, in my view, for most systems change projects is far better than revolution, which causes too much disruption. And then look at where AI can add value in that system as part of your normal product roadmapping. If you're looking to revamp a particular feature, add a new feature, always think of, can AI assist in that area? And take it piece by piece. Use the opportunity that your product roadmap offers to inject AI into every part of it. I think if you've got a system that's really old and legacy, then you would be thinking about a refactoring and re-architecting anyway. Now you've got to introduce AI solutions into your thinking in doing that refactoring. Again, go back to basics of product management, system design, and use it as another very powerful part of your tool set.
It's clear there are some winners and losers when it comes to AI, and there are some challenges that we've been sort of laying out as we've been discussing things. I wanted to spend a little bit more time on the challenges.
So once you've done that assessment of if AI is the right solution for a particular business problem, business case, you're going to face a couple of challenges in integrating that into your existing workflows. And I think the number one biggest challenge from both a technical and organizational point of view is the speed of change of the solutions that are now available to you. There are new tools, new models, new architectural patterns, new thought leadership that appear every day. Nobody can keep up with it 100%. Okay, so that's something that you're going to have to face. And you're going to have an organization that can deal with uncertainty and work in a very agile fashion. The second problem that I see facing organizations is what I call AI model and tool overlap. Almost every tool has a different set of AI features that often overlap. So it's really a challenging job to look at a single AI-driven stack. There are free tools, there are ones you pay for. I'll give you an example. If you want to write a policy document and you have a productivity suite like Microsoft 365, running on Mac laptops with a corporate WebKey running on something like Notion. You could use Copilot to help you write the document in Word, or you could use Notion's AI editor, or you could use Apple's built-in macOS Apple Intelligence editing tools in a different text editor. Each will use a different model in the background. Some are free, some are paid for. When you scale this problem up to 100 plus employees, it becomes an issue to work out what tool choices to make. So my advice on that problem, ensure your organization has a general AI usage policy. Go back to the old adage, stick to the rule of one tool for one purpose. Don't change tool set just for the AI capability with some limited exceptions, because the operational change involved in changing business tool changes is much bigger than in some areas of software engineering where there's more room for experimentation. And then try and use the free levels for all the AI features and see what brings the biggest productivity gains for your organization over time. So that's another issue that we're facing. And also, misunderstanding of what AI is. It's not intelligence in the way we understand it. It's not magic. It won't create profit out of loss in 6 months. However, it's a stupendously powerful and useful tool. And that is also a challenge that people face day in, day out, and implement it. Now, how do we know after all of that, or after all of the challenges, whether you've succeeded or not? Well, if you've actually followed my advice on putting the problem before the solution, you'll already have thought of product and business metrics that you will measure your implementation on. And then the same product and business metrics that you should always have been measuring your implementation on. You know, going back to those original key factors, bringing in new customers, or how many new customers have you brought in? Have you grown revenue by X percent? Have you reduced your operational costs according to your anticipated target? Right? That's where I think you can measure success. Use those same KPIs and OKR frameworks that you always should have done. It's no different.
Every single day, 30 years of a flunkly clunk, clunkly clunk. And that's okay. It's okay.
Greetings, Frank. Process optimization complete.
Who said that? Is that you? Is that Carol from accounting? Your voice sounds terrible. Sounds British.
I am Barry, the biometric automated replacement resource. Your new colleague.
My colleague, Doris, retired in 08. My last colleague was a cheese plant, and it died.
Analysis. My efficiency rating is 40,000% higher than yours. Also, I do not require bathroom breaks, pension contributions, or a yearly cake.
I'm sorry. They aren't getting rid of me. Look, I'm kind of busy right now.
Task complete. I have also processed next week's work and fixed the typo in your 1997 out-of-office reply.
So what am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do?
Human resources suggests exploring new synergies. Or, and I quote, maybe just go home, Frank.
We had a bit of fun with that. That was Frank losing his job after 30 years to an AI robot. However, there's a serious point. AI may well affect jobs.
I have to smile a little bit when I read some of the headlines. And I think one of the things to bear in mind is don't let the scare story headlines drive the agenda. Because you will see, sometimes in the same news source, headlines that say, oh no, this is the end of work because thousands of people are going to lose their jobs. And in another article in the same news source say, we haven't got enough people to do the required jobs. And what we're in is a period of change. And I think the fear I have is that we're not producing the base skill sets required to fill that gap. So things like training and teaching in language skills, in math skills, in flexibility and adaptability, those are the things I would be looking for because the pace of change is so quick. And yes, I think there is a shortage of that. It's not that we don't have enough people. We just don't have enough people, I think, who have the base skills, maths and language, to adapt to the new reality and supply that demand. So I think there will be, you know, overhyped roles, inflated salaries. I remember about 2 years ago, people were hiring for prompt whisperers at $150,000 a pop. This is a ridiculous, in my view, non-job. A prompt whisperer or a prompt engineer is somebody who can basically speak and write English well, precisely, to a requirement. It's just a temporary shortage of skill sets. I think that process will even out as supply and demand in that skill set match each other, and it'll take a couple of years.
So that's all for this edition of Are You Being Served? Produced by Richard Hanna and Nicola Malarkey of Smart Resource Solutions. A big thank you to Asita Rodrigo for joining us. If you have a question on something we've discussed, head to our website for more resources and clarity on today's terminology at smartresourcesolutions.com. We'll see you next time.
Business changes the only constant. Technology evolves. talent needs shift, and the question becomes, not only do you have the right resources to keep up, but do you have what it takes to be genuinely competitive? Since 1999, Smart Resources has been the answer for forward-thinking companies. We are a comprehensive, full-service IT recruitment partner dedicated to connecting you with hard-to-find talent. But we are so much more. Our unique business consultancy team helps you optimize your teams and your strategy. We produce the industry-leading Business Insight podcast, Are You Being Served? And we offer a comprehensive, free jobs board for employers, which simplifies your search. We are unique, we are comprehensive, and we are certainly established. So, stop just filling positions. Start building your future. Visit smartresourcesolutions.com today. That's smartresourcesolutions.com.